is City of Mukilteo versus Snohomish County.
Thank you. If it may please the court, David Bricklin, excuse me, for the appellant, City of Mukilteo, and Save Our Communities. I'll reserve 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yes. State Environmental Policy Act, SEPA, was adopted to ensure that government decisions were informed by full environmental analysis. An EIS prepared after a decision is made is as good as no EIS at all. The Snohomish County Council has made the only decision it's going to make on this case, whether to approve this lease. An EIS prepared later will not be able to be used by the County Council to inform its decision. The decision it was making is different than the permit decisions that the staff will be making later. The staff is deciding whether the project complies with code, deciding whether additional mitigation conditions have to be imposed. The County Council, as the landlord of the property in a proprietary context, has a much wider range of options available to it. It is not constrained to just impose conditions allowed by the code. It can go beyond what the code requires as a landlord of the property. The County Council made its decisions without the benefit of an EIS, and because its decision is fundamentally different than the later decisions to be made by the permitting agency staff, its decision was invalid. The issue in technical terms is whether the option to lease and the lease itself are actions, as that term is defined in SEPA. First, one point, the respondents argue, well, you need to cleave the option off of the lease itself, and all the county's done at this point is agree to an option, not the lease. This is not an option agreement, though, that gives the county any ability later on to opt out. And that will, I'll talk about other cases later, but it's significantly different than other cases that the county is relying on. The county's hands are tied. The county council does not get a second chance at this based on what comes out of later environmental review. It might decide, it might have decided with adequate environmental review that it wanted, for instance, to increase the amount of parking and car rental facilities on site to assure that there's not spillover into the adjacent community, more than what the code minimum requirements are. An environmental an impact statement would have informed the county council as to that issue. Is there a significant risk of spillover? Where will it go? How much of it will there be?
Well, let's take a look at the nature of the documents that we have. We have an option agreement, and attached to that signed option agreement is a proposed lease, right?
Yes.
No signed lease.
The lease itself is not signed.
That's
no.
Correct. So, at this juncture, the county is not a landlord. It's merely a party to a contract.
True.
Okay. So the nature of an option basically is just a contract. It doesn't give them any rights in the realty, right?
It doesn't give them the right to possession.
Right.
It does give them rights.
They have rights to conduct feasibility studies.
They also have the right to force the county to sign the option.
Why don't you answer my question.
Yeah.
They have rights to go on the property to conduct feasibility studies.
Yes.
And if, for example, they do not decide to move forward, the lease never comes into effect.
Absolutely right.
Okay. The lease also, or rather the option also has a provision that requires the, upon the exercise of the option, that SEPA be followed, right?
Yes, for the permitting process.
Well, it says SEPA.
Yes.
Okay. And in the event, the way I read it, SEPA is not complied with, then that condition of moving forward with the lease is not fulfilled, right?
True.
Okay. So Why, under those circumstances, given the nature of this document, an option agreement, is there in fact a violation of SEPA? I don't quite understand that.
Because the county council has taken the only action that it is going to take in this whole matter. Okay? The county is, while Propeller, the would-be lessee, can back out of this agreement, the county cannot. If Propeller decides to move forward, the county executive has to sign this lease. They have not provided themselves with any option. And I would point out that that's fundamentally different than other cases that we've cited and even that the opposing parties have cited to the court. There are several federal cases we cited, the Connor versus Buford case, that said where there's a lease but the government can't opt out of it later on, there's an agreement to enter into a lease, it's as good as done. And you contrast that with other cases we cited, like Friends of Southeast Future and Kelp versus Bureau of Rec, where the agreement was contingent and, in the words of the court, reserved to the government the full absolute right to not go forward. The Snohomish County Council has no right, an absolute right, not even a qualified right, not to go forward. They are bound to this agreement. And, in fact, in the resolution or the ordinance that they adopted approving the option, they not only approved the option, they approved the terms of the lease. The language of the document is the county council, quote, approves the form of the land lease and substantially the form attached to the option. So they're done. And the environmental review that comes later that will inform the staff decision as to, you know, permitting requirements cannot be used by the county council. So that's the difference. And to just look at it in terms of the language of the SEPA regulations, the definition of the word action includes agency decisions to lease property. So was this a decision to lease property? I submit it was. It wasn't the lease itself, but they decided to lease the property. The county council is done with that. This case is very much like, I think, in fact, I think this issue's essentially been decided by the recent Columbia Riverkeeper case, where the court actually reached an opposite result, but for a reason that's not present here. On the issue present in this case, the court reached the same result that we're advocating for, which is that a decision to lease is an action, as that term is defined in SEPA. Now, they said in that case you didn't have to do it because of the FSEC statute, but that doesn't apply here.
Thank you. You'll have 3 minutes in rebuttal.
Good morning. I'm James Maynard. I'm a deputy prosecuting attorney with Snohomish County. Also with me today is Dennis Reynolds, who represents Propeller Airports. I will take 5 minutes, and I'll reserve 5 minutes to Mr.
Okay.
Reynolds.
I'll expect you to monitor the time so you can divide it up.
Nothing about this preliminary agreement conflicts with SEPA, not outright or by its SEPA's goals or policies. The proper focus here is on.
Well, we just heard the argument that even though it's called an option, that it's really a decision to lease, and that the council now has made that decision, and there's nothing that they can do to change it. What's your response to that argument?
My response that it is not a lease, that it is an option, that the property cannot be leased until the option is satisfied. And what the option provides is the requirement in paragraphs section 2 and section 7 of the option that they have to, number one, satisfy SEPA and the decision-making authority of the SEPA official, which in this case is the Snohomish County Director of Planning and Development Services.
Well, if the ordinance says they've agreed to the form of the lease, what changes can they make to the form, having passed that ordinance, after SEPA review?
Well, changes. That's the argument that there should be some clawback in the lease. And I would point The lease hasn't been signed or executed yet, and it's substantially in its form, and it's been approved for business reasons because we are working in a proprietary format and protecting at the same time the ability of the county and the SEPA official to deny the proposal or permit, require mitigation for the proposal or the permit, or to allow it to go forward. We're not at a go or no-go state yet. We're still going to be gathering information. Understand that the county has a balancing act. We, Painfield, has a 2-mile-long runway. It's had commercial service in the early 80s. The federal government has provided over $100 million to the county to light and pave its runways over the last 40 years. So
how do you square the language of the ordinance with the argument you're making that it's just an option agreement?
It is just an option agreement.
Well, how do you square the language of the ordinance with that argument?
The motion... it was a motion, not a county ordinance. It was a motion because it was simply approving an option, which we see as an action. It's called the option to lease land in the title.
Reason you have the lease attached to the option is to comply with the statute of frauds, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, basically, one of the things that SEPA is looking for is that we're not stuck in the bureaucratic process. This is all going to be done at the expense of Propeller, and it's a preliminary step, and it's to provide us a specific proposal. The option will provide the specific proposal. It's going to be air service. It's on a ramp that has already been used for air service. This is not going to be a quote-unquote major action. We're looked at paragraph 904 is the clawback that I'm going to get to here. So we can't alter the terms of the lease, but the terms of the lease will be informed by the SEPA process. The SEPA official has the right to condition the permit, the right to deny the permit of the proposal, and the right to acquire appropriate mitigation. We have existing clients that have the same type of aircraft. Under federal law, we're required to not discriminate against air service. It's not like the county council had any authority to go, well, let's charge above and beyond county code to this type of service, because we already have the Boeing company there providing service in big jets. We already have Aviation Technical Services there servicing commercial jetliners.
Time is short. Let me ask you a question. There's another argument made that there was a failure to comply with the Snohomish County Code because alternatives were not attached to the proposal that the executive made to the council. What is your response to that?
There is no limitations on the alternatives that are allowed to the SEPA official, in this case the Planning and Development Services director. He can deny the proposal of the permit, he can add conditions to the proposal of the permit, and those will all be part of the lease because they're part of the regulations.
Well, maybe you're not understanding my question. It's my understanding from the record that the council was informed prior to the step when it passed the resolution of what was going on, basically. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And they were provided at that point with alternatives, I take it from the record.
Alternatives.
Okay,
doing the option.
Okay, so my question is, why hasn't there been substantial compliance with the provision of the code that is at issue here? Or why isn't that substantial compliance?
Why isn't what? I'm sorry, I'll call it.
Why isn't the fact that the council was provided with alternatives during the process leading up to the passage of this resolution, why isn't that essentially substantial compliance with the provisions at issue here?
Well, I think they were offered one, a county-built terminal, a airline-built terminal, and Propeller came with an offer to build the terminal. So,
okay, thank you.
Quickly to save myself a few seconds, Your Honors. From the standpoint of Propeller Airport, first of all, the county is the county. It doesn't act just through its county council, though it does on proprietary matters. But on other matters such as SEPA compliance, it operates through a SEPA responsible official and the Department of Planning and Community Development. And we now are in the process of the permit and SEPA review for the site-specific permits. So standing back from this and suggest there's a hole in SEPA somehow is pretty difficult for my client to understand. In honor to answer your question, is the form of the lease pretty much set in stone? Probably. But we're talking about the substance of the lease, which is not. As the
how could the lease be modified if the SEPA review said X, Y, and Z needs to be done?
It's not modified. It's supplemented, Your Honor. If you look at paragraph 9.4 and paragraphs 2 and 7, the option, in order to even be able to exercise the option, the SEPA process must be completed and satisfied. Then in paragraph 904, my clients must observe laws and regulations, including conditions imposed through the SEPA process. I wouldn't call it a modification. The SEPA, it's the substance of the lease is intended to be supplemented when and if it's signed by the results of the SEPA process, and also without trying to go back too far to the last case, RCW 8202. When you have a project that's going to be facing substantial public opposition, oh yes, my client's going to be looking at voluntary mitigation to help the approval process, and that comes in as well to the lease. Your Honor, if you take us, you will take us under advisement. The opposition does not discuss WAP 197.11.07 sub 4, and I've been in this young gentleman's seat, and I know he's taken that site, but that's the regulation that says this, quote, securing options and these preliminary steps are really not part of the SEPA process, and that's, you can struggle hard to call an unsigned lease a lease, but where it's going to be supplemented with substantive provisions to protect the environment on the one hand, on the other, with the use is just a reinstitution of a use that's occurred historically. The federal government's already committed its policy support and financial support to the project after compliance with NEPA. What we have here is a little tiny step to the car. Car isn't being driven yet. Let's contrast this to, let's talk about what it's not. It's not a major policy to resume air service at Payne Field because as counsel for the county and this becomes a federal process and federal law. It's not a policy to create a new municipal owned solid waste system and implement it through purchase and capital construction. It's a little tiny step to reach the car. And one more final point, if we make every little tiny step subject to SEPA, we demean the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have two arguments as to why this triggered SEPA. One is under the definition of action. The other is, relates to the council's comment about this is just a little step. And the courts of this state have repeatedly talked about that argument and talked about the snowballing effect of tiny little steps to the car and what that means in terms of SEPA compliance. And the regulations I handed up to you are the regulatory form of that. There are the cases we cited about snowballing. Everything in, and there, everything in SEPA is about do the environmental review as early as possible. As soon as you know what the basic structure of the proposal is, do your environmental review. And in the cases that this court and other courts have said SEPA is triggered, we're far less steps to the car than this one. In the King County Boundary Review Board case, that was a annexation decision by the city of certain county-owned land. It was just changing the municipal boundary. And the court said that's early enough to start analyzing the impacts of a development project because the developers have in mind annexation to the city, and someday they're going to actually come forward with a project. So just moving a city line triggered SEPA. And in the Magnolia, the Discovery Park case, the city was contemplating buying property from the federal government. And as part of its application said, if we get the property, we will develop it this way. They, at any time, the city could have withdrawn its application for the property. It was not committed to go forward. But this court said that's enough steps towards the car to trigger SEPA. And in the case that they rely on, the distinction that this court decided, the Sonic Stadium case, there the court was presented with an agreement that simply laid out a process that the city would use to analyze a proposal, Mr. Hansen's proposal. And notably, in that decision, this court quoted the paragraph 7. Let's explain that again. Oh, I've lost it. But quoted the language of the contract, which said that the city council and the county council, which was party to the agreement, reserve the right to change the amount they were going to put in, you know, this public commitment based on what came out of the environmental review. There's no language like that in this option or in this lease. And you ask council for that language, they don't have it.
Well, I think what they're citing is 9.4.
But it doesn't give that authorizes the permit writer, the ability to add conditions that are consistent with development codes. It does not authorize the county council a second shot at the terms of the lease. Thank you.
All right. That concludes our